This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Rough Life. Holy, if I cussed, I would have used a really bad word right there. But lucky for you, I don't. Because let me just say, this has been one of the most, if not the most stressful weeks of my entire life. It started on Monday when they started predicting this historic, catastrophic, whatever terrifying word they're using to describe this storm. And it ended with our transport van wrecking literally moments ago. So buckle up, because I'm about to tell you all about my week. Let me just start by saying Melissa, our foster coordinator, who you've all talked to already, has absolutely been kicking butt these last three transports. I mean, she's always done a good job, but these last two transports, she crushed it. And then this transport specifically would have made any other sane person throw in the towel and quit and walk away. So on Monday, when we found out that the storm was coming, Dr. Burton decided that we needed to move transport from our typical Saturday departure to Friday. So leave Friday, arrive Saturday to avoid the storm. Unfortunately for Melissa, she was so on top of her game, doing such a great job at her job, she had already called and confirmed all of our fosters for this transport for a Sunday morning pickup time. So changing the day and time meant that she had to call everyone again, make sure they could still pick up the animal that they were supposed to, and, you know, keep it an extra day. So a bummer for her, but not a big deal. Insert me. A big deal. Since we had a transport scheduled for this week and next week, I had previously been prioritizing animals from specific rescue partner groups so that each group would only have to make one trip out to me, not back-to-back weeks. Does that make sense? So all of our Alabama shelter friends were going to come on this transport, and then none of our Alabama shelter friends were going to come next week so that they didn't have to make two trips in a row. However, when we saw how bad the storm was going to be, and I realized that it meant all of the shelter animals were going to leave their shelter and be in Virginia foster homes, while all of our outdoor fosters and our waitlist animals were going to be outside with minimal to no shelter, I was like, nope, we cannot do this. So on Tuesday, I dropped a bomb on Melissa that not only did she need to call and confirm the new day and time with everyone, but you now need to call almost all of the fosters back again and tell them that the animal that they were expecting to get is not coming this transport. It's actually coming next week. And these are the animals that are coming now. Do you want one of these? Literal chaos. Imagine at your job, you spend an entire week doing your job exactly as you're supposed to. And then someone comes up to you 3 days before your work is due and they go, hey, you're doing a great job. By the way, undo all of that and redo it now as quick as you can, okay? Because you only have 3 days. She didn't say anything mean to me to my face. She was so nice, but I bet she was cussing me under her breath when we got off the phone, and rightfully so. She got it done though, and not only that, she got fosters for everyone that I swapped in place of the shelter animals. And then last night I asked to add on one more single so that its foster down here could take in a whole litter that we needed to get in instead of just having one puppy. So while Melissa is frantically recalling and reconfirming fosters and then finding new fosters to cover the new dogs for fosters who wanted to wait until their original dogs come up next week, we down here are frantically battening down the hatches because is literally a catastrophic storm coming. So because we cut all of the Alabama shelter pups who are safe and warm and taken care of during the storm, they're fine. We were able to empty all of my fosters. So any of my indoor fosters who were fostering something got to send it on transport today and then take in new animals that would have been outside this weekend so that those animals are safe. And then any of my outdoor fosters got to send their animals on transport today and not worry about keeping anything warm and safe in their kennels this weekend when things are, it's going to be, I think at one point it's going to be like 4 degrees. Insane. So things were looking up until Thursday when my transport driver, who I love so dearly, called and canceled. And don't get me wrong, I wouldn't want to go either. I literally didn't go. Like I found another driver so that I wouldn't have to go. She typically drives transport by herself and she drives there after work, spends the night, and comes home the next day. However, because the storm was coming, she would have had to drive there and back the same day through the night after work in bad weather all alone. And she didn't feel comfortable doing that. Like, who would? But that definitely did not help my stress levels at all this week. So Jessica and I start desperately looking for new drivers, and we had to change the meet time so that both drivers, the Virginia driver and the Mississippi driver, would be able to get back before the really bad weather hits. So for those of you who don't know how transport works, we have two cargo vans. One leaves from the Wolf Trap Hospital and it is full of supplies for me. The other leaves from the doghouse from transport in Mississippi full of animals. They meet halfway in Knoxville late at night. My driver gets out and gets in the Virginia van, and the Virginia driver gets out and gets in the Mississippi van, and then they both drive right back where they came from. So each driver is just going to Knoxville and back. Jesse and I actually used to drive all the transports way, way, way back in the day, and he would say we were like ships passing in the night. That always used to make me laugh when he would say that. Okay, so we find a driver relatively quickly and easily given the circumstances. Things are better. Life is good. My Walmart delivery order got picked up with minimal substitutions. Mary Sue, my 20-month-old's snowsuit got delivered in time, so we're going to be able to play in the snow. All the animals are taken care of. Fosters are found. If we can just make it to Friday evening, life will be great. We can get snowed in all weekend, have a wonderful, relaxing time, not worry about any animals. Just make it to Friday evening. Everything will be okay. Just got to get to Friday evening. So Friday evening arrives. Our drivers meet, swap vans, and head back where they came from. That is very important. That is a critical note that Dr. Burton failed to read in my emergency text to her. The drivers had already swapped vans. So about 2 hours after swapping, my driver calls me. That is never good. And I'm not saying that because I hate talking on the phone, which I do. It's because it is never good news when your driver calls you. So I answer and he says, "Hey, Miss Katie, how's your day going today?" And I said, "Well, Chris, it's going pretty good. Are you about to ruin it?" And he goes, "I'm afraid so." He explains that he got in an accident when an 18-wheeler like came over into his lane. And so he veered over onto the shoulder to avoid getting hit. And it looked like the guardrail had been hit before, so it was like bent and poking out the metal part, and it sliced through our tire. "Totally fine," I say. "We have AAA for this reason. They will have you back on the road in a jiffy." Oh, friends, I could not have been more wrong. So while we're on the phone, Highway Patrol arrives. And so technically, he's in Georgia right now, which if you're like me and you're like, why you're leaving from Mississippi, you're meeting in Tennessee, why would you be in Georgia? There's like literally 1 mile of interstate where you leave Tennessee, you go through Georgia, and then you're back in Tennessee. So he's in Georgia, and I guess Tennessee Highway Patrol shows up, and they're like, or no, I guess Georgia Highway Patrol shows up, and they're like, oh, well, actually, where you hit is in Tennessee, so Tennessee is actually going to have to come out here. So, like, whole big long thing. And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, you can see the state line. I don't know. It's so ridiculous. So while we're on the phone, Highway Patrol arrives. They tell him zero chance he can drive the van the way it is because it's way worse than he originally thought. So they also explain that AAA doesn't work on the interstate, at least there, I don't know. So they have to call on their end and have them come. Otherwise, AAA won't be able to find where my driver is. Whatever. So the tow truck arrives, confirms what the officer said, explains that there's no way the van's going to be drivable tonight and actually probably won't even be able to be looked at anywhere until Monday. Thank you, Storm. But he'll tow my van and my driver back to the doghouse back home for $1,100. Such a bummer. But oh well, come on home. It's fine. Actually, no, it's actually going to be $1,800 plus the $300 AAA fee for the cops calling instead of us. I'm like, whatever, just get our guy home at this point. I don't care. We'll pay it. Actually, no, just called my boss, the owner of the tow truck, and he said the weather's going to be getting so bad. He doesn't want to risk his truck getting stranded. And so the guy's not allowed to tow the van back to Mississippi. I'm like, okay, well, how far can you bring it? Because remember, I live in Alabama. So like, you know, can we meet here? Nope, can't tow it anywhere. He doesn't even want his truck to leave the area that they're in. I'm like, fantastic. Okay. So I get back on the phone with my driver and I'm like, listen, ball's in your court. What do you want to do? I can put you up at a hotel until the van gets fixed. You bring it home. Is that going to be Monday? Is that going to be 2 months from now? I don't know. Or I can come get you tonight. I can get you back home. You'll be with your family before the storm hits. You can spend the night, get a hotel tonight, see how bad it is in the morning, and then decide what do you want to do. And he's so nice. And he just like kept apologizing and saying, Miss Katie, I feel so awful that this happened. I don't want to make you get out in this weather. My wife is blowing up my phone though. She's freaking out that she may be snowed in alone. And so he's like, I got to get home to her. I totally get that. Like, especially for her because she lived through the ice storm of 94 in our town. We had like no snow. It was just ice. But because it came through all at once and it was so heavy, there were hundreds and hundreds of people without power for 2 weeks. Some even went 3 weeks without power. It took forever for the roads to thaw. So everyone was just stuck wherever they were for days and days. That's actually why my graduating class was so big. And by so big, I mean there were 86 kids in it, which is crazy big for down here. I won't elaborate on that any further in case there's any little ears listening. But if you do the math, I graduated 18 years and 9 months after the ice storm of 94. I'm losing the plot here though. Okay, so let me wrap this up. Anyways, he decides his son is going to come get him and drive him back home tonight so that he can be there with his wife if they lose power or anything. And then when the van is done and the roads are clear, he's going to go back and get it because he's laid off right now. And he's like, I'm more than happy to go get it. So they tow the van to a body shop right there, and weather permitting, they're going to start working on it on Monday and hopefully won't have to order any parts or anything like that because the tow truck driver was like, yeah, man, you better hope you don't have to get parts because parts are really hard to get nowadays. I'm like, okay, that's great. Great for my stress. my mom was like, oh, wow, hope they don't just total it out. I'm like, oh, yeah, I really hope that. So, I'm very, very worried about my van. In the meantime, because it's going to be like 5 hours before his son gets there, I was like, just go get a hotel room. Just go. If you guys decide to stay until morning, great. If not, like, he can just settle down, take a nap, recover from this roller coaster of emotions he just went through. And then hopefully he'll be rested enough to stay awake or help drive home so his son can sleep. But when I told him, he was like, no, I'll just have him drop me off at like a 24-hour gas station or something. And I'm like, no, get a room, take a nap, just relax for a few hours. I'm serious. And so we were on the phone and he says to the tow truck driver, you got any 5-star hotels around here? But he was kidding. He went to like a Super 8 motel or something like that. That was his compromise. But, so back to Dr. Burton. I send a message in our group chat and I'm like, my driver just wrecked our van. This is what happened. Here's the pictures. And I thought because I said my driver and my van, she knew that it was just my driver in the van with the supplies, not the driver with the puppies. But she didn't realize that they had already swapped because remember we moved the meet time earlier. So really they shouldn't have swapped yet because we moved it like 3 hours earlier. So she calls me literally in hysterics and she's like, what are we going to do? That van is absolutely not drivable. How far away is the other van? And I'm like, what? Like, why would we have the other van come back? Like, what would that help? And then we both realized at the same time what the other one was thinking. And I was like, listen, whoa, wait. They already swapped. Your driver, for now at least, is totally fine. The animals are safe. This is my driver coming home with the supplies. And she's like, you just took me from a level 15 to a level 5 instantly. She's like, I don't even care now. She was kidding, but but really, if this had to happen tonight, this was pretty much best case scenario. If you have been around since last year, though, you might be getting a little deja vu. We have been doing these transports every other week for over 10 years now, and we have had 3 wrecks. One was like, I don't even remember, like 2018, 2019, pre-COVID, I'm pretty sure. Our wonderful Jeannie, who I love so, so much, she was driving home with the puppies and she hit a deer. But they got the animals, they towed the truck. It was fine. It wasn't a big deal. Then just last year, almost to the day, we got in another wreck. But what's even eerier is I totally predicted that this was going to happen today, and it's totally Melissa's fault. Last year on transport that was going to have a Valentine's Day weekend adoption day, like this one, we did a Valentine's Day theme with like lovey-dovey pet names. That van got in a bad, bad wreck. Totaled the van. It was awful. But thankfully, it was only 20 minutes from the Wolf Trap hospital. So the driver gets taken to the hospital, the human hospital, and he's fine, you know, just getting checked out. Several of our animals got loose on the interstate. All the puppies were found. 5 cats went missing. We found 2 of them, but we never found the other 3. Okay, so earlier this week, Melissa says she wants to do names for this transport. And if you know me, you know I will never not want someone else to do names for me. I'm like, absolutely go for it. But when I realized, when she put the names in and I looked at it, when I realized she was doing...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
A Valentine's Day lovey-dovey name theme again. I immediately texted Jenny and I was like, what do you think? Am I crazy? Like, Is it even safe to speak these names again? Are we jinxing ourselves? Like, what is happening? And Jenny's like, I thought the same thing, especially with the storm coming. Like, this is just bad, bad juju. Here's the thing, though. Jenny and I are so sick of coming up with names that we didn't even tell Melissa this because we didn't want to have to come up with a theme ourselves and do the names. So we didn't say anything. We left the names the same. But as soon as my driver called me, I texted Jenny. I might have even texted Jenny before I texted Dr. Burton in the group chat. I'll have to check. But I texted Jenny and told her what happened. And she said, you totally did call that. So I am very proud of my psychic abilities, but wish I could have prevented it somehow. So here it is, Friday evening. I am not any less stressed than I thought I would be, but I do have to say my people in Virginia and my people in Mississippi absolutely crushed it this week. I am just so amazed by this whole team. Melissa got a foster for every single animal that we needed to send, literally every single animal. Shout out to all of you who signed up to foster, and especially those of you who signed up to foster. And then we were like, just kidding. Will you take something else instead? And you were like, yeah, sure. You guys were so flexible with all the changes. I am so, so grateful. And then my Mississippi people got every single animal we were asked to help with indoors and safe before the storm hit. Now, there's definitely still animals outside that will probably definitely freeze to death this weekend, but none that we know about and none that we were asked to help with. And that is going to help me sleep so much better tonight as soon as my driver gets home and I know he's safe. But oh my goodness gracious, that was such a long intro. If this is your first time listening, I am so sorry. Like, I am known to talk a lot, but never 20 minutes just on an intro a lot. So, let's get into the stories, the whole reason you guys are even here. Valentine. So another rescue asked if we could take him because she didn't have room for him. And we said, absolutely. He is actually the last minute add-on so that his foster could take in a whole litter right after she dropped him off. He was found and left in a barn by himself. Apple of my eye was my baby. Like, literally the apple of my eye. Listen, y'all OGs know that I don't do puppies. Give me all of the adult dogs. I do not foster puppies unless they are sick and dying. But when my neighbor showed up to my house last week with this itty bitty teeny tiny mangy thing, I had no choice but to foster him. He was found in the ditch just a few yards away from my house, and my neighbor Rob, who I am literally obsessed with and think is the coolest person ever, saw him while he was on his tractor taking care of his cows. Have you figured out yet why I think he's so cool? He sees him while he's on his tractor, hops down, picks him up. He knows I do animal rescue because A, I just took Friend a few weeks ago from his brother and he saw Friend at my house all the time. And because I am literally just about every day in his field feeding and snuggling his cows. So he brings this puppy over to my house. Now, y'all remember right after I moved into the house, like literally a few weeks in, I had Parvo puppies here. So I am still on Parvo lockdown. But because Dr. Burton has taught me and trained me so well, I am fairly confident in my cross-contamination tracking, and I know what areas are still parvo-free and what areas are a parvo hotbed in my house. So we bring the puppy in, we put him in the bathroom right away. Mary Sue is absolutely unbelievably tickled to death. Remember what she was like with those kittens? Just like that. Just like it. And so Justin, my husband, is talking to the puppy and he goes, hey, buddy. And Mary Sue started saying over and over, she was trying to say, hey, buddy, but she couldn't say buddy. So she was going, hey, Bodie. Oh, Bodie, Bodie, sweet Bodie. So obviously we named him Bodie. They were two peas in a pod for about 4 days. I'm for real. They were stinking cute together. And then I said, he cannot live in our bathroom anymore because he is driving me crazy and he can't go outside in our yard. And like, that's not fair to him because I do have Parvo in my yard. So I sent him to one of my fosters. He was just as happy there, probably even happier to be away from Mary Sue over there. But me and Mary Sue and Bodhi were all so excited for our little mini reunion at transport today. He looks so much better. His hair's growing back great. His little face was all scabbed up and pitiful when I had him, likely from mange, but it could have even been a flea allergy. We never found any other puppies on the road or anywhere around, but someone a few roads over found one that looked just like him and was roughly around the same age, but she gave him away before I could get it. Anyways, we love our Bodhi baby so much, and we would love any and all updates on him from whoever fosters him. The tea litter of three, the owners of the mama dog actually ran the mama dog over on their way to school one day. Very traumatic for everybody. They raced her to the vet, but she didn't make it. The puppies were 11 days old. They went to our bottle feeder foster, and then they went to Mama Becky when they were just finally weaning. And Becky said that she's had them for 3 years, and that's what these last 3 weeks have felt like. It's been a long time since our last transport. The S litter of five, one puppy showed up at a lady's house. They heard a car door or something outside and they went to look, and this puppy was in their carport. We were making plans to get it to a foster, and then she said, oh, we found it a good home, quote unquote good home, with somebody that they knew. So 2 days later, another puppy shows up. And then the next day she realizes there were five more of these puppies at her neighbor's house. They were so adorable. So stinking adorable that we knew she would absolutely give every single one away. So this is actually Jessica Pohl, but we called Tasha and we were like, Tasha, do you have any fosters? All of our fosters are full. And she had someone that was able to take them. So the next day, one puppy was missing. They never found it. I'm wondering if the lady gave it away. But the lady loaded up the other five and took them to meet Tasha. And then Tasha almost kept one too, but luckily she knew what I would do to her. So she sent it with the others. The K litter of two, one of our foster's friends, she runs a daycare for kids, not for dogs. And she texted our foster a picture of two little puppies that had shown up outside the daycare. She took them inside and asked if she would just swing by and get them on her way home that day, which she absolutely did. And if I haven't yet, remind me to post their picture in the foster's page because it is the absolute cutest picture you will ever see. The F litter of two, a lady was doing DoorDash delivery at way, way, way out in the boonies. And she turned around at a church cemetery and she saw these two teeny tiny puppies. Her husband is going through some pretty major health issues, but she scooped them up and hung on to them for a couple days until we could take them. She was also trying to give them away on Facebook, though, for free. She's actually a good friend of ours. She's not a good friend. She's a friend that we know. And she used to be a good foster for us. So we were happy to help her, but we were kind of tickled because she said that she wasn't able to keep them in her house. She had to keep them outside because her husband is a lung transplant recipient and she doesn't want him around these puppies because they're unvaccinated. Don't get me wrong. Puppies are gross. 100%. But you're not going to catch anything from puppies just because they're vaccinated. It doesn't matter if they're vaccinated or not. Meanwhile, we have my stage 4 cancer mom and my stage 4 cancer stepdad fostering dozens of puppies every month for us. But it was funny. We were happy to help. The O litter of three, the mama dog belonged to the niece of one of our fosters. And she was hit by a car on Christmas Eve. Can you even imagine? They live on a 60-acre farm and she rarely went close to the road, so they were shocked that this happened. The guy who hit her brought her up to their house just apologizing, which is so unheard of around here. I cannot stress how rare that is, that people even stop if they hit a dog. So our foster, the aunt, took the puppies and bottle fed them, and she has spoiled them terribly for the last month. The day that we vaccinated them, she made them a special homemade chicken dinner since it was such a traumatic day for them, she said. The G litter of three were owner surrenders. The owner messaged us on Facebook asking if we could take the two black ones. And I was like, yes, absolutely. And then she was like, great. I've been trying to get rid of all of them, but I just can't find anyone to give these last two away. And I've got another lady who was supposed to come get this third one, but she hasn't messaged me back yet. And I keep calling her. And then she sent me a picture of the brown one. And listen, I'm not a doodle lover. Like, I don't get it, but I know y'all are, and that is why I fight so hard to get doodles for you guys and why I fought so hard to get all three of these. So I immediately told the woman if she would give us all three, I would make sure that we had a foster for them a whole week sooner. So they were originally supposed to go next weekend, but I was going to send them to a foster down here after this transport if she would let me have all three of them, and we would give her a spay voucher for the mom. She was as excited to give me all three as I was excited to get all three. So you're welcome. The B family, one rescue agreed to take the puppies but said that they couldn't take the mom. And then another rescue that really didn't have any room went and got the puppies and left the mom there. They were just abandoned. So Tasha asked if she could help the rescue just by taking the puppies since they didn't have room for them anyways, and they agreed. And then Tasha, sneaky little Tasha, had one of her friends go and get the mom so she could reunite them back together. The mom was so happy to be back with her babies because the babies were only about 4 weeks old at the time, so they should have still been with their mom. And then a few days later, they broke with Parvo. The first one, it was just one of the puppies that broke, and then the mom got it a few days later. Luckily, they were with our wonderful rescue partner, Tasha, who is, unfortunately for her, a Parvo expert at this point. So she caught it super quick. She knew exactly what to do for them, and they bounced back in record time. But unfortunately, because of when they broke, they had to miss last transport, which meant Tasha had to keep them for a very, very, very long time. So she's very excited to get rid of them. The D family, so a homeowner found these puppies and the mama out in the woods behind her house. She had to feed them for a week or so before she could even get her hands on the puppies. She brought them home, she put them in her dog pen, and the county that she lives in just had a hoarding case where over 200 dogs were seized from a property. So all the shelters and rescues are just so over capacity over there. No one would help her. So she reached out to us and we were very happy to help her. Stay tuned for the story on the hoarding case because some of those will be coming on a future transport in a few weeks and it's wild. As for the cats, Cupcake was dumped at Dr. Jamie's clinic. Dr. Jamie was Dr. Burton's student in vet school and then became her lifelong best friend. Dr. Jamie asked if we could take this sweet kitty for her, and she neutered him and kept him until we had an opening on transport. Queen wandered up to someone's house and their three dogs were being mean to her. This is from my mother. She says, a male cat has been hanging around the area too. He's also gray. So we are expecting gray kittens. We have no idea. We have no idea what these kittens are going to look like. But the homeowner said that their neighbor moved off and left all of his pets behind, and they think this was one of his cats. Nerd is from the C litter of two from last transport. This is the same lady that we were supposed to take a pregnant cat from last year, but she couldn't get her hands on the cat the day of transport. And then we ended up taking the kittens when she had them because the mama wasn't feeding them and we had to bottle feed them. All of the cats belong at an abandoned house across the street, but they're basically hers at this point. She asked us to take this litter back before Thanksgiving, but we didn't have any room. Some of them are too skittish for her to even catch, so we're going to work on catching those as soon as we have a foster spot. And we did. We caught this one just after transport left, but he has something wrong with his eye. Dr. Burton's going to take a look at it and decide if it can be saved or if it needs to be removed. I'm thinking it needs to be removed. And my medical expertise. The R litter of four, they were owner surrenders and they were supposed to go on last transport, but when we got them, a few of them were just way too snotty and wheezy, so we held them back. It took them a little longer than Jessica thought it would to get them well. But she said they have been the most well-behaved and sweetest kittens. She said, I never thought I was going to miss four to five-month-old kittens, but I will sure miss these. And then the rest of the cats are from our Alabama shelter friends. And if you listen to the rant at the beginning, I know what you're thinking, but I did save them a trip because I could fit all of their cats in my car. So Mary Sue and I stopped and grabbed these on our way. I would not have been able to fit their 20 plus puppies and dogs that were scheduled to come though. So we love our Alabama shelter friends, but because they're a shelter, they usually don't have a lot of information on their animals. Enchantress was brought in as a stray. Masheree was brought in as a stray. Hotshot was brought in as a stray. Partner fell out of a car engine and was brought into the shelter as a stray. Lovebug was turned in with an entire litter and a way older sibling. They were left behind by their owner that moved away. Everyone got adopted except for him and the big one. She didn't tell me who the big one was though. So I don't know. I don't know if the big one is in this group that I sent, but I'm going to try to figure out who the big one is. And if we don't have him, we'll put him on next transport. And then the J litter of two were found in a ditch when they were just barely weaned. They were so teeny tiny. But Lord have mercy. That is all the stories for this week. I hope. Hopefully there won't be any more updates. Hopefully our driver and his son make it back before the storm hits tonight. Hopefully my van is fixed on Monday. And hopefully we still get to do transport next week like scheduled. Thank you so much for fostering. Thank you for listening. You guys are truly saving lives. We absolutely could not have done any of this without you. Also, Claire, if you're listening, I am so sorry for not texting you back all week. Literally, Claire has texted me, I think like 3 or 4 times, different days. It's like she could sense when I was in the middle of a disaster and like about to freak out, and she would text me and I would be like, okay, I can't answer you right now. I read all of your texts, Claire, and I promise I will text you back soon. I'm so sorry. It's a rough life, but someone's got to do it.